My quest today is really to introduce to you some tools, some awareness of really how to measure the way that you are affecting your environment. Because so many of us are, you know, we're filled with life, we're filled with juice, we're filled with power, we're filled with anointing, we're filled with all kinds of really good stuff. And if we're not really paying attention to how other people are experiencing us, then we end up with a problem. And that problem is a lack of self-awareness, a lack of really knowing what it is that helps strengthen and vitalize my environment and what it is that is draining my environment to the point to where I am a huge sucking sound everywhere that I go. So what I'd like to do is I would like to talk to you today really about how do we learn more about who we are, the strengths that we bring, the advantages that we bring, and in doing so, we learn how to be ourselves, we give ourselves permission to be ourselves, and we learn what is strong, and then we also learn what is lacking, to the point to where we can build effective teams around us. We can learn how to play to the strengths of the team by valuing people that are so different than us. Classically, people who are different than us irritate us. I would never do it that way. I would never do it for that reason. I would never look like that while I did it. And so you need to be more like me. And until you're more like me, you're going to continue to irritate me. Now this, you know, how many of you have roommates? I rest my case. It's not difficult at all to have a roommate that doesn't do things like you do. And in that difference, I find myself stirred with anxiety, and our relationship connection is challenged, and even my very value for you is challenged. Because people that don't remind me of me, I struggle to find value in them. This happens all over the place. We talk about honor a lot. And honor isn't, I celebrate the me in you. Honor is something that I leave on all the time, and everybody that crosses paths with me is hit by it. One of the things that we do to justify turning our honor off is we find people who are very different. And when we disagree or when we don't understand somebody else, what we begin to do is we begin to pull away and we begin to devalue their input, we devalue their contribution, we begin to devalue the relationship. So in understanding the context of how we are wired as the body of Christ, as how we are wired as a moving, breathing entity that is comprised of many different parts, as Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, you know, he's basically trying to get us to understand that though we are so different, we are vitally important in the way that we function together. So this is where we begin to have to look outside of ourselves for what is valuable. Because, you know, sometimes there's just body parts that just will never get each other. I just don't get you. I don't understand you. I've never even seen the strength that you bring. You commonly will comment on the eyes of somebody, like, oh, they have such beautiful eyes. Oh, their eyes are so blue. Their eyes are so brown. I've never seen two different color eyes. You know, you will notice the eyes on a person right away. But you don't ever say, did you see the kidneys on that guy? I mean, that really stood out to me today. No, we don't. But take those kidneys away, and what happens to those eyeballs? You know, the parts that are so visible and so on top commonly get the most attention, but the most vital organs that we have are things that you have no way of appreciating, really, because they go unseen. They are hidden. And so when we talk about teams, we talk about effective leadership, really what's important for you as a leader is that you are able to identify what it is that you rock at. And as a result of rocking at something in particular, realizing what you need so that you can contribute to an effective team. So I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with DISC and some of those assessments. In particular, DISC is one that we've used around here quite a while. And there's really cheap ones, free, but you get what you pay for, right? And then then they go up from there. And I think we have one available on the iBethel store for, I think it's, is it $30? Something like that. It's a very, very good one. And I would encourage you to at least do the free one, just to kind of follow up on this if you haven't. But as you begin to move ahead in your leadership and or just being part of a team, it is really helpful for you to understand yourself so that you can better express what it is that you need and what it is that you do so well. So DISC is essentially dominance, influencers, steadfast, and conscientious. These are four types. Now, most people are not just one of them. They're usually some blend of them, but there's one that's more prominent than others. That's why it's important to find out through taking the assessment, really which ones of these pop for you, which ones really jump to the top. So let's start with the dominant. If you're a dominant or a D, there's just certain things that really, really matter to you. There are just certain things that you are really attracted to. There's certain things that happen without you even trying. For a dominant, for a D, you were brought into this world ready to lead. You don't even have to try. Nobody has to offer you leadership. If there is no leader, you will take it. You will find yourself moving to the vacuum of leadership. These people come out of the womb looking for something to be in charge of. Even if it's the dog, it may be just the dog. Sit. But the D's are people who are looking for more responsibility than other people. They are looking to take charge. They feel most comfortable in charge. They will walk into a room full of activity, and they are searching for the leader. Who's the leader in this room? You're the leader. Okay. I got my eyes on you. And we'll see. We'll see how long it takes before I replace you. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of confidence. It takes a lot of strategy and plan to lead a D. If you have a D on your team, please understand they're not being rebellious or disloyal. They are being who they are. Are you going to do something? Or am I going to do something? Because I'm going to do something. And this is the nature, the very design of D's. Every great leader in all of history has had a significant amount of D going on in their world. There is a strength, a confidence, and a need to be in charge. Our D's are looking for the high water mark in their environment. They are looking at the pole at the university that has a name written up there, and that's as far as anybody's ever climbed on that pole. And the D is standing at the bottom of the pole and says, "What's that name? Joe? You guys are going to want to call Joe because I'm going to climb past that mark here in just a minute. Just call Joe and let him know that there's a name higher than his." D's are looking to leave a significant impact on their environment. They are driven by purpose and meaning, and they are looking for a place to happen. The D's are going to be written about in the history books. It's in there. It's not a game. We're not playing a game. Well, actually, we are playing a game. We're playing a game that I plan to win. See, D's need to win. They need to win. The reason we're playing this game is because we're going to win. You're on this team and you don't want to win? Who let this person on this team? D's need clarity of where their authority begins and ends. They need structure. They don't need structure for the reason other people need structure. They need structure to know where to stop. If you don't tell your D where they have to stop, they'll just keep on going. This is how Texas happened. A bunch of D's ended up in the same state and just kept on going. If you're leading a D, you must inform them, this line is as far as your authority goes. And they're like, okay, this line, now, how much of the line? Do I have the line or do I have to stop at the line? Because I want to know, because if something ever happens on that line, I want to know what to do. If you have two D's on your team, you better have some lines. Or else you're going to have some wars. It's like putting two lions in the same cage. Like, they'll figure it out, but people could get hurt in the meantime. Understand this about your D's. Understand this if you are a D, that having a defined territory is really important to you. Asking those questions is very smart of you. Clarifying that for your D's is a really good idea. Because like I said, we're here to win. We're doing what we're doing because we intend to change the world. We intend to ring the bell. We intend to reach the goal. We intend to leave a mark. We intend to change history. We intend to make history. And if you push me, expect to get pushed back. D's have a high pushback factor. You don't just push a D. You push a D. They're not trying to be disrespectful, but they think that's why you pushed them, so that you would get pushed back. And D's will die in the process of seeking justice. Injustice is absolutely intolerable. Absolutely intolerable. I refuse to live in a world of injustice, especially if that injustice is affecting them personally. It could be happening to a family member. It could be happening to a coworker. It could be happening to something or someone they care about. But you cross paths with a D in injustice and expect to hear about it. Expect to experience the weight of that powerful D working to correct that injustice. All right, so these are our dominants. These are our D's. There's much more going on, but these are a few of the highlight characteristics I want you to pay attention to, whether that's you or somebody you know. And these things are not inherently evil. They are not inherently selfish. They are not inherently disrespectful. But many D's get tagged with those labels because people don't understand who they're dealing with. I just don't understand what drives you. See, those things don't drive me, so you're weird. That I would never behave like that, so you're wrong. I don't even think like that, so you must need a sozo. And so this is just the beginning of misunderstanding the people around us, misunderstanding the people on our team, or misunderstanding ourselves. So let's keep moving along, and let's talk about the influencers, the eyes. I rest my case. The eyes, the high eyes especially, are the give me that microphone people. The eyes are the people that they thrive on sending the message. They thrive on being noticed. They thrive on being the center of attention. They are the people who walk in the room and from the door shout out at somebody across the room, "Hey, how you doing?" And when everyone turns and looks at them, they go, "What are you looking at?" "What? I was just saying hi. 20 people over." They classically have a loud laugh or a loud voice. They want to have fun. The D's want to win, and the I's want to have fun. If we're going to do it, we better be having fun. If we're not having fun, I don't want to do this anymore. The eyes have many, many, many words. Many words. The eyes are verbal processors. The eyes actually see their thoughts coming out of their mouth. Thoughts, they're having thoughts, and here they go. Oh, you know what we could do? Oh, totally, you know what we could do? Oh, I think I had a vision. I think it was a vision. They see the backs of their thoughts leaving their mouth. And they're just talking and just processing. And then they get done and they think, yeah, I don't even believe that. Do you know who Georgian Banoff is? Georgian is a high I. I was getting ready to do a conference with him, and my pocket just starts buzzing, just buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. I look at my text messages, and I have 6 text messages at once. Like, what is going on? And so I clicked on it, and they were all from Georgian, and they were just boxes that his text ran out, couldn't hold it anymore, so I had to send another one, had to send another one, had to send another one. 6 text boxes came through. With one, hey, how you doing? Do you know who Sean Bowles is? Sean Bowles, another high I. He left a 2-minute and 45-second voicemail. Now, if you think about it, that is a long dang time. And so I am listening to this voicemail, and pretty soon I just start laughing. I'm laughing because he is telling me all about his day and all about what he thinks about X, Y, and Z. And then there's always a phone call after that first voicemail. The second phone call is, oh, I forgot to tell you why I called. Your high eyes are people that are your idea people. These are the people, their mind works 1,000,000 miles an hour. You throw an idea out on the table and the high eyes are like, you know what we could do? You know what we could do with this? Have you ever seen one of these? I bet you've never seen one of these before. The high eyes are just 1,000 ideas a second. You're going to sit around and do some brainstorming, invite your high eyes. Make sure they're in the room, because these people, they think outside the box. They don't like limitation, let alone respect it. Boom! We should put a 5th wheel on cars. I don't know why, but what would happen? What would happen? Let's just think about it for a minute. Let's just talk about it. Let's build one, see what it does. These people, they could sell you anything because they generally can think faster than the people in the room. They also get themselves in trouble because they don't listen very well. Classically, your high eyes don't listen very well. Is this working? Did any of you high eyes hear that?
Huh, I don't know what you're talking about. I listen great. I'm a great listener. While people are talking, I'm listening to myself. And I'm just wondering what I'm going to say as soon as they stop talking, if I wait.
And high eyes don't like a lot of structure, so they tend to struggle sometimes with, being on time. Or doing things more than 3 times the same way. It's just kind of built in there because they need certain things. But this is our high I. This is a high I. This isn't if you have some I in you. This is a high I. Now, our steadfasts are really the salt of the earth. These are the people that you want as friends. These people are there for you. These people are there in season and out. Your high S friend is the person that you call at 3 in the morning and you know they will answer the phone. They will answer the phone, and when you say, "Did I wake you up?" they will say, "No." Because I don't ever want you to feel like you're a burden. Oh, not at all. No, I had to get up. I had to get up. What do you need? How can I help you? Because they are alive to serve. The high S's, there are few moments as rewarding as successfully serving someone. Doing something they know that person needed. These are the people please give me a list of things that you need done. I would love to do them. And you have to give the S's a list of things. If you are leading S's, you have to give them a list of things to do. Give them a list of things to do. Here you go. Here's the list of things. They're like, awesome. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Now I know exactly what to do. And they will do it, man. They will do it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 5. Let me make sure I did them well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now, if you don't check on your S, a year later, they will be standing there. Because they don't ever want to do something that would get them in trouble, that would get you upset with them. And so they are... I'm not really sure I should do number 6. So when you're working with an S, you have to understand that these things are so important to them, but you will be frustrated out of your skull if you don't understand that they are afraid of being in trouble. They're afraid of doing something wrong. They're afraid of upsetting the people around them. Now, S's are some of the most easygoing people in the world. So if you find yourself having a problem with an S, you're a jerk. These people are the easiest people in the world to get along with. They're like, cool, no problem. Sure, I don't care. What do you want to do? I don't care. Where do you want to eat? No, I really don't care. They really don't care. They really don't care. And S's, they don't want to fight. They're the most peaceable, peace-loving people that you'll ever meet. They would rather be wronged than fight. You push an S, and they move backwards. They're like, all right, I'm sorry, I was in your way. I'm sorry. S's are not looking to change the landscape like the D's and the I's. The D's and the I's are looking for things to change, looking for things to rearrange. Look at what they come in the living room and they look at your living room and they go, why'd you put your couch there? Grab that in. We're gonna move. The S opens the door. The couch is on, hitting the door. They're like, cool. The S's are going to adapt to the environment. They're not there to change it. They're there to adapt. And they are very comfortable doing so. So if you're a D and an I, and you go, how'd you put up with that? How did you put up with that? It was easy. You should have said something. Why? That had driven me crazy. I was cool. The S's on your team are the glue of your team. They are the people that are hanging on to the relationships with one another. They're the ones that are finding out how everybody's doing. They're the ones that find out if anybody needs anything. They're the ones that are going to do stuff if people need stuff. They are the best friends. They are the ones that are paying attention to the relational climate of the environment. And that's what they are committed to. They are committed to the people and how the people are doing. So we got our D's, our I's, our S's, and our C's. Our C's are the conscientious ones. Our C's are the ones that are paying attention to information.
These people cannot get enough information. I'm going to need some more information. These people are so glad the internet was designed. You mean you've never Googled that? Let me Google that real quick. I'll find out. I need to know. That question, I need an answer to. I cannot live knowing that there is an unanswered question. And I know where to get the information. I will get the information so that I can scour it for details. Because the success is in the details. See, the way that we actually do this correctly is what matters. See, the D wants to do things so that we win. The I wants to do things so that we have fun. The S wants to do things so that we are connected to one another. And the C's do things because I need to be right. I've got to do it right. If we're going to do anything, we do it perfect. If we don't do it perfect, we keep trying. And we gather as much information as we possibly can. We scour it for the details, and then we analyze the information. We have spreadsheets. We have different softwares that will help us run statistics on the information. We will find a way to manage, identify, and manage the risk of each situation that we have. I need information. I need to get this right. I have tons of anxiety over failing. I will do this, and I will do it right. Now, your C's are internal processors. They need time. They don't understand the I's. I don't understand how you could say things that you don't even believe. I don't even understand how you can have so many incomplete thoughts come out of your mouth. I don't even know why you would think anybody would ever trust a word you say. 90% of your ideas and your character could use a little more cooking. See, because the C, if you ask an I what they think, they're like, oh, totally, like, I've been thinking about this forever. Oh, let me see. Here it comes. You ask a C what they think, and they say, I'll have to get back to you on Tuesday. Yeah. Why? Because they are now going to go inside their little laboratory. There's a laboratory inside. There's a laboratory and a library inside of every C. And they are in there, and they're looking things up, and they are measuring things out, and they are testing things out. And if there's ever going to be a mistake made, it's going to be in the laboratory. That's where I make mistakes. And then they come out with what they think. And when a C comes out with what they think, baby, you could bank on it. If you ever find yourself in an argument with the C, you're wrong. You're wrong. Just deal with it. These people did their homework. They did their homework. They just don't have random decisions. They're like, oh, no, that's not the capital. The capital is, and then they tell you, and you go, huh, that's not the capital of that state. And then you go look it up, and you go, I've never even heard of that town before. How did they know that? They have memorized it since they were in the sixth grade. It's just in there. Everybody should know the capital of South Dakota. Whatever it is. As a result of them needing so much information and having to do such a thorough job of processing it, they are going to be very slow to change. So if you have C's on your team and you are an I or a D, especially if you're an I, you're like, you know what we can do today? You know what we can do today? I know we made a strategic plan yesterday, but who cares about a strategic plan? I got a feeling. The C is just holding on to something heavy. Holding on. I can't even believe you're in charge. How did you get in charge? How did I end up on this team? And so the I wants to go, ready, fire, aim. The D and the I are like, ready, fire, aim. Oops, we are so sorry. See, D's and I's are professional apologizers. That's what they do for a living. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Here. Oh, go like that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know, I was aiming for the apple. I'm sorry. The S's and the C's are like, ready? Ready? Aim? Ready? And the D comes over, grabs the gun, bam! Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And all these people are on the same team. All these people are in the same family. All these behaviors happen in the same environment. And this is where all the anxiety is coming from. The anxiety is coming from, you scare me. You are different than me. I can't believe we have to somehow work this out together. I want to take some time just to take a look at some of the things that drive each of these behaviors. These are behavior types, meaning that they're predictable behavior types that come from different individuals' lives. So I'm able to predict what you're going to do next based on you have a consistent makeup of what drives you, different things that you need. But as we talk about, you know, the DISC, you can think of people, you're like, they're a D, they're an I, they're an S. Everybody's turning to people in the audience as we're going through, like, oh, that's you, oh, that's you, oh, that's me. Because we're so predictable. We're so predictable. And it's important to understand what is driving these behaviors that makes them so predictable. Well, for the D, what drives a D is the need to be significant or to make a significant contribution. So if you call up the D and you say, hey, we're getting together tonight, you know, we're just going to hang out, we're just going to, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll watch a movie, or maybe some popcorn, maybe we're going to pray for each other, I don't know, we're just going to get together. The D's going to say, what for? So, well, I just told you, you know, we're just going to hang out, you know, do life together, man, we're just going to do life together. I got stuff to do. Well, we were going to ask you if you would teach. I'll be there. See, we have to understand that the D needs, there has to be meaning behind what it is that we're doing. The I's, the influencers, they need to be free. I don't know what we're going to do, but I need to be free while we do it. I'm attracted to freedom. I'm attracted to environments where I can be myself. I can express. I can communicate. I can wear what I want. I can say what I want. I can do what I want. That's what heaven's going to be like. And I can fly. The more freedom there is, the more the eye is attracted to that opportunity or that environment. The S's are motivated by connection. There's lots of talk about building a family, being a family, covenant relationships. Relationships are very important. But being connected to the people that they're around, super, super motivating. This is where the loyalties and the faithfulness comes in, is that my main driver is relational connection. And for the C's, getting it right, getting things right, knowing that what we're stepping out on is secure. It is true. And so having a secure place of theology, a secure place of finances, a secure place where we know that what we're doing is the right thing to do. We are doing the right thing. We are right in doing this. These things are super important to the C's. Now, each of these behavior types are going to struggle with a common lie. And this is going to create a broken spot for them. So when you have a particular behavior type that is struggling with one of these lies, you're going to see some of the negative characteristics of that type. The insecurities, the D is going to struggle with a basic fear that they're not respected, that they're not valued, that people don't value them. And so when you see this in a D, then they are climbing over people to get significance. They are breaking relationships so that they can be in charge. They are damaging the area around them so that they can protect themselves from being invalidated or disempowered. The eyes, when the lie of rejection settles in on them, they're so charismatic, they're so likable, they are so able to build relationships that if they're not paying attention, really what's eating at them or what's driving them is an attempt to get accepted. I'm trying to get accepted. And so I lose who I am in trying to be accepted. I'll do whatever I have to do so that people like me. The S's are afraid of getting into a conflict because they're going to be the bad guy. Scared to death of being the bad guy. If I'm in a conflict, it'll threaten my relational connections. So I'd rather just not tell you the truth that I need something. I'd rather not tell the truth that what you're doing is bothering me. I'd rather just hide that from you than damage a relationship, lose the connection. And the C's are so afraid of failure that if they ever do discover that they're human beings, and the fact that all human beings have sinned, which they still struggle with that verse, then shame comes and rides them around like a pony because they beat themselves up at any point that they make a mistake. I didn't make a mistake. I am a mistake. I didn't fail. I'm a failure. And so the antidote to all of these things is an encounter with a loving Father who will speak directly to their acceptability, to their righteousness, to the reconciliation piece. There is a deep need for everyone to reconcile with the truth and to confront lies that commonly plague each of these behavior types. And if at any point one of these behavior types feels powerless, then the emotion in powerlessness that they begin to express is predictable as well. The D's are going to produce and project anger. When they feel powerless, you're going to see somebody who's trying to look powerful. So D's are commonly going to get tagged with being angry because when they feel powerless in a situation, that's what they're going to express. I's, when they feel powerless, they can be incredibly optimistic. Oh, look, we're falling out of the air. The plane is falling out of the air. Maybe we're going to hit one of those bouncy toys and it'll cushion the blow. I've seen that happen in a movie. Like, wait a second, you're out of your mind. I just feel powerless right now. And so what I do is I over-optimize outcomes when I get scared. I also distrust blindly. When I feel powerless, I distrust without even asking. D's struggle with trusting anybody, and I's need a filter, and they need to actually ask more questions, especially when they feel powerless. The S's, when they feel powerless, they seem to be Spock. How you doing? I'm terrified. How you doing now? I'm really angry. How you doing now? I'm happy. The poker face that can be on an S is kind of makes it tough to gauge how they're really doing because when they feel powerless, the muscles in their face just relax. Like, tell me how you're doing. I'm fine. You can't be fine. You're in the same plane as the eye. I know, but they're making me feel better. So don't read the face. Don't read the emotion as accurate. Look past that. These are powerless experiences that are going on. When the sea feels powerless, they are henny penny. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. Turn back. Run away. Turn away. We need more information. We need to run some data. Okay, stop it. You're just feeling powerless. These are predictable when working with each other. If we just pay attention to what it is that's actually going on behind that emotion, and we can address it and say, you sound like you're feeling powerless. What are you going to do? It immediately shifts them out of that emotion, and they begin to actually go to work on something they can do something about, managing them. All right?
You guys all right? Okay. Now let's talk about how we focus on things. What the D's and the C's tend to focus on naturally without even trying is tasks. D's and C's are task-oriented folks. You don't even have to try. And S's and I's are focused on relationships. They're the people. So there's the production-oriented, task-oriented folks, and then there's the people-oriented folks. And you don't ever want to put the S's and I's in charge of the schedule, and you don't ever want to put the D's and C's in charge of the fun. So you want to make sure that we are lining our people up to play to their strengths and not setting them up for failure. We also want to understand that the D's and the I's have a very different pace. They are fast-paced, whereas the C's and the S's move a little slower. So the ready, fire, aim group is always going to be creating anxiety with the ready, ready. And they're doing it differently. The D is wanting to get things done because doing nothing is wasting time. And the I doing things is more like, I don't know, let's just do something. Let's just do something. The C is going slow because they don't want to get it wrong. And the S is going slow because they don't want to upset anyone. There's different reasons, but the paces, it's important to understand that our paces are naturally different. And so the anxiety that's being produced by not paying attention to that pace is unnecessary. If I'll just recognize, oh, you need more information. Oh, you need to know that everybody's on board. Oh, you need to do something. Oh, you need to not be wasting time. Oh. Another important thing to pay attention to is predictability. D's and C's want to be certain about what it is that we're going to be doing. They want a plan. They want research. They want to know if it's ever been done successfully before. If people failed at this before, why did they fail before? I need certainty. I need to be able to predict what's going to happen. The I's and the S's, they like uncertainty. Like, you know, it would be fun. You know, it would be fun. I don't think anybody's ever tried this before. Let's try it. That's the I. The S is more like, okay, I'm following you. You want to do it? I'm going with you. Your people are my people. I will adapt when I get there. Now, some of the people that we could point to biblically and say, hey, you know what? These are some, I get that. Abraham. Abraham is a high S, faithful follower friend. Married to a high D, Sarah, who's actually laughing at God. Ha, huh, whatever, dude. Moses. Moses is the law bringer. He's writing five books of laws and history and details and getting it right. And now everybody's going to do it right. David, anybody dancing in their underwear is a high I. Elijah, killing 800 people who disagree with you is a great day for a D. Esther, the beauty queen who changes a nation with risk and confidence, is a high ID. Ruth, your people are my people. The Apostle Paul, a high DC. When Jesus himself knocks Paul off his donkey, big D, little D. Are we communicating here? Excellent. Gotta get it right. Peter, high ID. I don't even need to say anything. Peter just cut somebody's ear off. Peter, you did not do that. You did not just do that. Did you just do that? You gave me a sword. What am I supposed to do? Ready? Fire! Aim! Barnabas, son of encouragement, the builder. He rebuilds Mark after Paul gets done with him. Paul uses him up. Nah, nah, nah. Get out of here, you whiny baby. Wah. Barnabas picks him up, encourages him back to life. Paul hears about it. Hey, I heard Mark's all better. Send him to me.
I want you to understand something. What this is not an excuse for your behaviors to negatively impact the people around you with anxiety. See, one of the things that we have to have in our lives is feedback so that I can understand how my high I life needing to be free is affecting the world around me. I need feedback in how my desire to change the world as a high D is affecting the relationships and the people around me. I need to know how being afraid of risk and change as a high C is affecting the people around me. And I need to know how being unwilling or unable to express my needs and let people know me as an S is affecting the relationships around me. I need to know how my life in production is affecting the people around me. I need to know how my life in relationships are affecting the people around me. And so the goal isn't to master one or two of these. The goal really is that I can bring what is needed in the moment. That I, as a leader especially, I can bring what is needed in the moment of leadership that I find myself in. And so if I need to be a D and I'm not, I can be. If I need to be an I and I'm not, I can be. An S, a C. This is the path to maturity. Not that I would live in these different quadrants that I'm not really designed to be, but I can function in them. And so I heard Lance Wallnau one time talk about this, and he said, my natural behavior set is like if I just take my two fingers and I just hold them like this. How long could I hold my fingers like this? Well, forever. But if I put a small rubber band on there and I stretch it out and I hold these fingers apart with that rubber band pulling them, how long could I do that? Well, the fatigue is going to set in and I won't be able to do it as long. So when I'm operating outside of my behavioral set, it's like having that rubber band on there. And that ongoing behavior is wearing me out. I have to keep doing this. I have to keep doing this. This is what I do for work. Or this is what I do to keep this relationship. Or this is what I do when I'm with my parents. Or this is what I do when I'm with so-and-so. Or this is what I do when I have to work with numbers. Or this is what I do when I have to meet new people. Or this is what I do when I have to make these decisions that people are going to be unhappy about. This is what I do when I have to actually be patient and listen. It's wearing me out here. But I'm able to do it. I'm able to do it. I have matured to the place where I recognize that other people need different things from me than I give naturally. So I grow and mature to be able to be a distributor of the things that other people need in those instances. But I'm not going to live in those places for very long because it's going to wear me out. And I have to understand that this is really how the Lord lives, how the Lord behaves. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Spirit, He is the Good Shepherd, and He is the Law. He is all of these things, equally and really indistinguishable, but able to be what is needed in the moment that it's needed. So this is the process of growing and developing as a leader, but also as a person. And then in time, I begin to give you permission to be you because I value what I understand. And as I begin to understand myself, I begin to learn and understand others. And as I understand what they need, what motivates them, what triggers them, I begin to learn how to supply what it is that my team needs to bring out the very best in them so that we can all be successful in what it is that we're doing. Amen? All right, put your hand on somebody next to you. Pray this prayer and pray it with all your heart. You ready? Help them, Jesus, help them. Lord, help them get this stuff. Help them get it. Help them get it. Help them understand, Lord. These people need some help. They need some help. All right, put your hand on your own heart. Now we're going to pray for the one who really needs this. You ready? Help me, Jesus. Help me get this. Help me get this. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, guys. I think we have a few minutes, don't we? We have about 10 minutes. Do we have a microphone we could run around? Hey.
Out of those four characteristics and qualities that I seem to find myself having a lot of all of them, what are good, like, relationships to build? Like, what are good opposites? What are good spouses, like, to have?
Who should I be looking for?
Pretty much.
Well, you know what? You could fight with all of them. And you can fight with yourself. So it's really not... just understand that you have to have the skills in relationship to handle the anxiety of the differences. And so, you know, two D's together is really pretty rare. Because they will kill each other, you know? Because they both want to happen. Eyes, two eyes together, same problem. You know, they're both like, hey, you know what we could do? Okay, well, then what do you want to do? But now we got to do what I got to do. So you have to have the skills to protect that relationship while you are trying to do the same thing. Likewise, I mean, if you have a D with an S, you know, that S has to be able to confront that D. The D has to be able to respect someone who's not going to threaten to kill him. The I and the C, you know, now opposites attract, and I know that's very, very, very appealing to, oh my gosh, you are the other half of me. Be careful, because all the stuff that they have that you don't have, there's a reason you don't have all that stuff. Because that makes you crazy. And so often I see I's and C's attracted to each other. And the C is like, oh, they're like a butterfly. They're just so free. And the I is like, they're so stable. They're so consistent. I need some of that in my life. And the very thing that you thought you needed is the very thing you think is going to kill you. The high I is out, you know, wanting to go to parties all the time and meet people. And the C is like, I'd really rather read a book. But I'll go with you. Okay. Can we go now? Can we go now? No, no, the sun's not even up yet. So there is no, you'd be perfectly matched if you picked this person. You'd be smart to develop your relationship skills to protect a connection with lots of options. And then you're going to have to make a decision as to whether this is the person that you're going to die for. Because you will.
I want to know what could be the boundary, you know, the difference in between dominant and controlling people.
How to set a limit?
Yes.
Get a handgun. Actually, if you're going to set a limit with a D, especially a D that is not really paying attention to how their life's affecting other people, their need for control, their need for to be in charge, you're going to have to confront them. You're going to have to be able to tell them, here is how I'm experiencing you. I feel scared, I feel run over, and I feel threatened. And they'll go, touchy, aren't you kind of touchy today? And you'll say, I'm not feeling touchy today. I'm just telling you how it feels to be around you when you act like this. I'm not going to be around you when you act like this. So I'm going to be over there. You let me know when you'd like to clear this out. And then when you're not in the room with them and they're going, what's the deal? How come there's nobody in the room with me? Then they go, can we talk about that? As best I could tell, I had something to do with that. So for that part, I'm sorry, okay? Now quit your whining and don't ever do that again. Something like that. And then you just have to do that a lot.
Okay. Hi, Danny.
Hi.
I'm a high I, so I have
no.
That.
No.
Yeah. How could you tell? But I have like a high value for freedom, and I feel like I try to express that, and then everyone in the church can tell, and they're like, well, I need to stretch that rubber band and constantly, like, be like, no, you know? And I'm like, okay, I gotta do that. But how do I prevent that from happening to people who are eyes, but also, like, anybody in their who is just operating in their strengths? And it seems like they do it so intensely that people are like, kind of trying to balance them out when really they need to like build them up. So I don't know. How do you go about doing that without like squashing their...
What is the question?
Yeah. So how do you really bring out the best in people at the same time as tempering their gifts so that they are mature?
The best thing you can do is learn what other people need and get in some sort of dialogue as to what is it that you need right now. To especially when there's tension or there's disconnection, it's not okay to just pretend like that didn't just happen. And so I'm going to say, I felt that. I felt that disconnect with you. I felt that pushback with you. I felt that you disappeared. I saw that when that happened. Please tell me, what is it that you need right now in our relationship? And as much as you can cycle into that with your team, like not in front of everybody, but you know, one-on-one, like what is it that you need from me in this situation? Because I feel you. I felt you disappear. I felt you push back. I felt you, you know, you know, one way or another, you didn't happen. So it doesn't seem to be a moment of you thriving. And I want to create environments for you to thrive. So help me understand what you need when this is happening. And to the point to where you can get good at those dialogues, then you know when one's coming up and you go, here's what you need, go. And that's what makes you such an effective leader, is that you are paying attention to what your team needs, as diverse as that is, and you're looking for ways to supply what it is they need as we go into the certain challenges.
Yeah, that's really good. Hi. So what do you do? I'm an internal processor. So what do I do when I'm in communication with someone who's an external processor, and they're either like a close friend? What are tips for communicating?
Just maybe clarifying that one piece right there, because sometimes when external processors are in the presence of internal processors, they think, oh my gosh, you just need to talk right now. Here, let me see if I can help you. And it's like, have you ever seen the otter with the oyster, and then they find a rock and they're like, crack, 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 crack. I'm going to help you right now. This is going to help you. I just know it. If we can get this opened up right now, you're going to feel better. And the person's like, no, no, no. I need time. I need my emotions to die down so I can think something besides disappearing or besides killing you. So give me some time. So this would be, you know, especially if it's a conflict, a disagreement, or you got hurt, or you feel powerless, you might just say, I need an hour. And then we can check back in an hour, and I'll see if I'm ready. But I need an hour. And now the person that's a verbal processor, they're like, okay, an hour. Hour's a finite amount of time. I could hold on for the hour. But what a verbal processor doesn't want to do is not be able to resolve the conflict. You know, that's torture. They're like, they got a loop. Like, I don't know. What's wrong? I don't know. I got to talk to that person. And you're over there going, you're reading the book. You're fine. I'm totally fine. Whatever. So if you can say, I'll be done in an hour. I'll be ready to talk in an hour. And so you go away and you're like, okay, I'm going to need to write some stuff down so I don't forget when this conversation starts going, because my brain shuts off when in a conflict, and that's why I hate them. I hate them. I hate the way I feel. So write it down. Get it. Come back. Okay. All right. I've written some things down. All right. Try that. Last one.
The example that you just shared with the S confronting the D kind of situation, saying, hey, this is how I feel, and I'm going to be over here, and you know, like the D can then choose to go over there. What happens in a marriage when the D doesn't ever choose to like adjust to the S?
Very painful, you know, very painful. But at some point, the D is going to want to say, you want to go do something, or I need something from you, or whatever. And the S is like, yeah, I would love to. I love you. As a matter of fact, I love you. And as soon as we have that last situation dealt with, we can go do that thing.
So it's a matter of that S, like,
staying consistent.
And not just be like, oh yeah, let's go do something.
Right.
And then it all just recycles.
Because right. The S gets hurt, gets, you know, over here, goes, you hurt me. There I go. And then, you know, maybe it's all day and the next day. And the D's like, I know how to be super nice, too, okay? I know how to be super nice, and now you feel guilty, don't you? And you should feel guilty, because I'm super nice, and you're being a jerk. And so you'd better, like, lighten up, because I'm being nice right now, and that's really all that you should want. And when you say, I love it when you're nice, and that thing you did yesterday, that was a big pile of poop on the floor. And it's still there. Can you smell it? Here. And you just refuse to move on just because the conflict is now forgettable. All right? Bless you guys. It was so good to be in here. Love you tons. Thank you.